This is Esther Rose for the You Now and Then Project on March 9th, 2020. I am Esther Rose and I am the interviewer.
This is Jane Eldridge Miller and I am the interviewee.
And we're here at You Now. And just to get things started, Jane, can you tell me what brought you to Princeton?
I moved to Princeton in 1986 to go to graduate school at the university. I was getting my PhD in the English department, and I moved here from Minneapolis with my husband and my daughter Emma, who was 7 months old at the time.
And what was Princeton like back then?
It wasn't that different from what it's like now, actually. And it was, it was different from the Midwest. It was exciting to be in graduate school. But I think the big difference on the topic that we're talking about is that when I came here, I kind of naively thought the university would have some resources to help me find childcare for my daughter. And they had none.
Really?
Yeah. So it was a situation where they just weren't used to graduate students being parents. And especially parents of a baby. I mean, she was 7 months old. So I called the university, I called lots of different places, and they had nowhere to send me. So the best they could do is give me a list of undergraduates who wanted part-time work. And so I found a babysitter who was a senior, a very nice young woman, but she was just a babysitter that came to our house. So that was the first sort of childcare situation I had at Princeton.
Were there any facilities that accepted children that young
No.
at that time?
No.
None?
No. So,
wow.
And it was, I just had a lot on my plate and hadn't really thought that through when I started graduate school. And it was very hard, especially the first year, juggling graduate school. And my husband had to cut back his work hours because he had to stay home with Emma. And the babysitter could only come, a few hours a week. So it was tough.
And you didn't have any family nearby?
No, I mean, we moved from the Midwest, so we didn't know anyone in Princeton. We didn't know anyone on the East Coast, so.
Must have been challenging. And did you have any child care back in Minneapolis?
No, I had stayed home with Emma from her birth to when we moved to Princeton. So I knew I was going to be starting graduate school, had her at home with me for the first 7 months of her life, but then really expected to put her in some kind of care, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. So up until the time she was old enough to go to a preschool, you had her at home?
No, then the second year, a neighbor recommended a woman in Princeton who took care of children in her home. So Emma went there from, my second year of graduate school. And the woman was very nice, but it was in her home. It was just a small group of kids. All the other kids were older than Emma. They were all boys. And so it wasn't an ideal situation. And I just felt it wasn't very, it wasn't very stimulating. It was just a kind of, safe and comfortable place for her to go, but there wasn't a lot going on. It was just in this woman's house. So I started talking to different people I met at graduate student housing, and asked what they did about daycare. And that's when I finally found out about You Now, which at that age still Emma wasn't eligible to go to You Now because you had to be two to start. But at least I found out about it and could start the process of applying to it. So,
were you living in the graduate college?
I was living in Lawrence Apartments.
Lawrence Apartments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the people that you heard from who knew about You Now, did their children go there?
Yes, they had a son. They were from Portugal. I remember Guillaume was the son, and he played with Emma, and they said, you've got to go to You Now. And they also told me, importantly, that we could get either a scholarship or financial aid. So that was huge. So we immediately applied for the coming year. It would be starting in the fall. And Emma got in, and it just changed our lives. It
wow.
was fantastic.
Was it more than what you expected? Or, tell me about your initial, observations and how you thought about the their policies or approach to childcare education or
Well, the first thing is actually just a practical thing, is that it was from 8 to 6. Mm. So that was huge, because even at the home daycare Emma went to, I don't think the hours were that long. So it was wonderful to have a recognition that we were working parents and we sometimes had long days. And I mean, I shouldn't go 8 to 6 every day, but that we had that option was just huge. It was really great. And I wasn't familiar with any place like that. I knew of nursery schools, you know, from my life, my sister's life and stuff, but it was, you know, not a nursery school. It was this full day daycare, and that was great. I also really appreciated its association with NOW. I'm a feminist literary historian, basically, is what I do, and so it was important to me that there was this consciousness about gender stereotypes and a real effort made to not, you know, conform to those. And that, you know, was clear from the beginning and was really an important thing to me.
And you saw that in the way...
In their literature, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, in what they, how they described what the school was all about. So that was important.
And did you see that in the classroom? Was that also obvious when you looked around the classroom or when Emma came home?
Yeah, I think so, because I think about the way they played. I mean, I think the teachers were really careful to encourage, you know, not this sort of separation in play and not a kind of, you know, stereotypical things of that the boys are doing one kind of play and the girls do another. I think they really nicely, gently, but kind of sort of guided the students to do, you know, just mix it up and not do these kind of stereotypical things. So I guess so. I mean, it was something I was just, I remember just battling all through Emma's sort of toddlerhood of that, you know, she wanted a tricycle and they came in either pink or blue. And, you know, this sort of whole dynamic of, you know, how do I get her out of these like neat little categories? And I felt like, you know, was hopeful, you know, helpful for that. So,
So you knew about you now, the National Organization of Women, their affiliation with...
Yeah, and my dissertation advisor was Elaine Showalter.
Oh.
So she was one of the founders of the Princeton chapter of NOW. So I didn't find out about you now through her, weirdly, because we didn't talk about childcare, but then I found out later that she had been one of the founders of that NOW chapter. So that was a nice connection, too.
I see. Do you remember being politically engaged yourself at that time?
Oh, no. I mean, I was going to graduate school, so my whole life was teaching or researching or writing my dissertation. It was a very intense period of time, and political activity actually was not not feasible with a young child.
Yeah.
So.
And what did you think of the Broadmead building, and what were your impressions of it?
Well, I have to say my very first when we arrived there was that it was old and a kind of forbidding looking. But then once you got inside, the classrooms were wonderful. I mean, they were wonderfully decorated, cozy, welcoming. And so, I mean, that really was never an issue. And I just think they did a wonderful job with a building that, you know, wasn't made for that purpose, and just, it was fine. It was good.
Do you remember any particulars about how the classes were organized or how they were run that was noticeable or noteworthy at the time, or any way that Emma, was she... You know, did she look forward to going?
Mm-hmm.
How was that transition in the beginning?
Well, what was an amazing thing that happened before she started with B class, and before B class started, the two teachers, Rhoda and Colleen, actually came to our apartment to meet Emma. And that was just huge because she didn't, it was just the unknown. She didn't know where she was going to be going. So to know these two teachers, to have had them, like she got to show them her bedroom and her favorite toys. And so on the first day of school of going to B class, I got to say, we're going to go see Rhoda and Colleen. And it just made such a difference. So that was a really great thing that they did. And I, you know, Never forgot that.
Do you think they did that with all the incoming students?
I assume so. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a very big class. The B class, I think, was the smallest class. I'm not sure, but I think because they were the youngest kids at that time. They were the two-year-olds, and there was no one younger. So they maybe did it for everyone to sort of help that transition, but it was great. Mm-hmm. The thing that mattered to me a lot, because we were living in graduate student housing, living in an apartment, so we didn't have a yard, as it were, I loved how much time they spent outside. That was important to me, that it wasn't this thing of just sort of, oh, it's not nice weather, we'll stay inside today. It was really trying to get the kids outside, I'd say, you know, every day for a good chunk of time, and I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm. Were there any times you could remember that Emma was unhappy about going to school or at UNOW, mm-hmm. or that she didn't like something that had happened there?
Well, it was her second year there was A class, and that was tough for a while because there was a reshuffling, I think, of ages, of sort of who was in what class. And so she didn't, her entire B class didn't move to A class. And then she was with some older kids. So there was a mixture of ages that were different from B class. And that was hard initially because I think she wanted to stay with just all those familiar kids from B class and not be with the older 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds or whatever they were. But that resolved itself. Mm-hmm. And then she continued with that same group of kids into D class. So that was fine. Mm-hmm. But really, that's the only thing I can even remember that was a problem for her, because she really, really loved coming here.
That's great. And did she bring home work from school that she shared with you? And how did she talk about her days at UNOW? Do you recall?
I don't. I mean, I know that she would talk to me about the food they ate. She really loved the food, and sometimes we would get recipes from Waveney, who was the cook, and she really, really wanted me to make them at home. I remember that mattered a lot to her because it was new stuff, and she was excited about that. She wanted me to know that she'd tried different kinds of food and sort of show off to me that, you know, she was eating all this different stuff. And she really talked a lot about the outside stuff. I mean, she did really like to play outside. She had a tree that was her favorite tree that she would play under and meet friends under. And I remember that always. She called it Skinny Branches, and it was her favorite tree. But, yeah, I mean, and she didn't have work that she brought home. It wasn't something, you know, it was like sort of, that was the sort of time at school where she played with her friends, and we were really sort of focused because we were so busy that when she came home, it was really about us, my husband and I, and reading to Emma and engaging with each other. So, I can't remember beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Did you meet some of the other parents just through drop-off and pick-up, or were there other opportunities mm-hmm. to meet with them or come into the classroom? Were there mm-hmm. holiday celebrations?
Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot. I mean, compared to, say, public school, when she was in grade school, where there was a lot of parent volunteering and doing things for special days, there wasn't a lot of, for me at least, parental engagement in the day-to-day stuff or special events or whatever. I mean, I think, again, there was this understanding that people had full-time jobs and couldn't do that. I mean, I remember that we had occasionally special events, like at the end of a school year, or if there'd be fundraisers, and I'd see parents then. But most of the parents I got to know either through drop-off and pick-up or birthday parties. You know, the kids would be, or play dates, you know, kids would become friends. They'd want to see each other on the weekends, and we got to know each other that way. And I should add that fitting with the university not being able to recommend childcare when I first got here, no one in the English department had children. I was the only parent in the graduate program in the English department. So it was very isolating in that way. People didn't understand my experience of having a young child and writing a dissertation and teaching. So it was great that I met a lot of people who were affiliated with the university, but they weren't graduate students through UNOW. So I was they understood what I was going through. Like, they'd already gotten their PhD, or they were professors or whatever. So I connected with them because they just knew what was going on. So that was a great basis for friendship. So.
That's great. And I know from conversation that we've had before this interview that you're still friends with some of those couples mm-hmm. that you met through YouNow. And is Emma also still friends with some of her YouNow friends?
She is friends with just a few kids, but it's through Facebook, I think, you know, facilitates kids to stay in touch, even though, you know, decades have gone by since they were at YouNow. So she has some friendships with people that were at YouNow, but the significant friendships for me, because they're, you know, really long-term ones, are the ones I made with these other couples at YouNow. And we have a book group, and there's four couples in it, and three of the four couples I know from YouNow. So we have children the same age, and it just sort of, I think we also chose YouNow for the same reason. So I think we have certain things in common, certain values in common, like why we were even at that school, mm-hmm. sort of set us up for friendship because we just valued the same thing. And so it's just lasted all these years.
And they still live here, right, in Princeton or nearby?
Yeah, one couple has moved to Connecticut, but they come back for our book group. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And did Emma end up going to elementary school with some of her YouNow friends?
Actually, most of the people that she's friends with and that are children of my friends, they all went to Princeton Friends School after YouNow. So she went to Friends School for kindergarten, first and second grade before, and then she eventually went to public school. But that was sort of the place a lot of us chose as a nice sort of continuation of a lot of the philosophy and just the sort of general mood and atmosphere of YouNow. It was continued into the Friends School.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember at your home acquiring any games, toys, books that you learned about through YouNow?
The main thing I remember is that Emma would come home with songs that she'd learned. Okay. So those became the songs of her childhood, that she would sing the songs in class. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I think Betty played the guitar in A class. I'm not sure. But so she brought in a lot of songs. But Emma would come home with these songs. And so I can remember Robin in the Rain and Peanut on the Railroad Track and these crazy songs, but they were just so much part of our lives because she sang them mm-hmm. here. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so neat. What do you think of YouNow now? Do you know?
It's just amazing.
Yeah,
it's unrecognizable. yeah, I mean, it's great. It's such a wonderful facility. But I have to say that, you know, just it's such a contrast. But I don't want to say like that we were kind of lacking or suffering in the mm-hmm. old building, because it was such a rich environment. And even though it was just that one little fenced-in play yard, it was just magical for them. I mean, they loved it. There was a little house to play in and lots of toys. And it was really, you know, we were fine with it. It really was enough for mm-hmm. them at that time. So, the new facility is wonderful. But, yeah.
Neat. Does Emma know that you're doing this interview?
I haven't told her, but I did. I was when we were talking about the interview, I was remembering that for years after she left YouNow, we would just sort of, because of where we live and when we're driving out of town, we would come down Fitz Randolph mm-hmm. and see YouNow, and it just became this thing of saying, "There's YouNow," and Emma would like gaze out the window and sort of stare at it. So it really made me realize how it just was her home away from home. I mean, 3 years of her early life were spent in that building and in that playground. And so she just, it just was this thing she would always look for when we were driving down that street.
It holds a special place in her heart.
Absolutely, yeah.
And yours?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Do you think your husband felt the same way?
Yes, yes.
He really appreciated it just mm-hmm. as much.
I don't think it's just rosy looking backward. I really mm-hmm. don't remember conflicts or problems with it. I mean, I felt like the administration was really strong and done really well. The teachers were all wonderful, the way the classes were organized. I mean, we were just absolutely just so happy with it. We just felt incredibly lucky to have found it, to have it in our town, to have it available. So
that's great. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's been my pleasure.
It's so great to talk with you, Jane.
Thank you.
So this is the end of the interview.